This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to speak today on overcoming backsliding. Not that anybody does that. Matthew chapter 14. Father, I thank you that we can come before you this morning, that your presence has been in the house. Lord, we love your presence above everything else. If we don't have your presence, we don't have church. If we don't have the knowledge that you're with us, God, then we've got nothing but religion. But I thank you that you've been with us in the house. You've ministered to us already. Now speak to us in your word. Lord, there's many in the house today that just need to know from heaven that you know them, you know their circumstances, and that you are already setting a course to bring them through. Lord, this is what this message is today. A hope for those caught in a storm that you'll bring them out in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture in Matthew chapter 14, but I want to share it with you as a prophetic word spanning the time of Christ all the way to the very end of time. Let's just read these few verses together from verse 22, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him, and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. An incredible portion of Scripture just in itself, as the story unfolds very early in the ministry of Christ. We see this natural story of a storm that rises up. The disciples are in this boat. We know the story exceptionally well as we've just read it. And Peter walks on water. But I want to share this with you from another perspective as the Holy Spirit began to open up these scriptures to me as a prophetic word that he was speaking to the church over the whole period of time from the time that he came to the very end of time. And you see, in this very short portion of Scripture, it begins with Jesus going up onto this mountain and he is alone there with the Father. He's apart. The Bible says he went apart. It means it's private in nature. This is something between the Father and myself. It's private in nature. The enemy doesn't understand what is taking place. This is the bearing of the meaning of this when Jesus goes up to the mountain and he is apart and he is alone there with the Father. When you go into the original text, it literally means that there was a conversation going on between he and the Father, and the devil didn't understand what was going on at this particular point. I just love it. Jesus keeps many things hidden from the enemy so that faith in our hearts can rise and he can bring us through to a tremendous victory. So here he is on this mountain, and he knows what is taking place. The type of the storm is a type of the world in its sin-fallen humanity. We see this tossed with the waves as the condition of fallen humanity. And in verse 24 and then in verse 25, Jesus goes out to them walking on the water. And in verse 27, when he gets there, they are troubled, and he says, immediately he says, "Be of good cheer, it is I am here." It's the announcement that was given to the disciples of Jesus' presence, but it's also very significant that it was also the announcement that was given way back in the scriptures in Luke chapter 2 verse 14 with the shepherds. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." It's the announcement. Beloved, it's always the announcement of God that when he is about to come in on human circumstances that are beyond the control of mankind, he always comes with this word, "good cheer." Be encouraged. Be happy, in other words. Your circumstances are about to change. Be of good cheer. The enemy can't take you any farther than has been designated. And in the midst of time and situations, God always appears on the scene, even in the midst of the darkest hour, and he says, "Always good cheer, your circumstances are about to change. Your situation is going to be completely changed." Now, as you take a look at the spectrum of Christ on this mountain, it reminds me of the conversation that the Father and the Son had in all eternity. You see, God had designed that there would be a covenant made between the two of them. And in this covenant relationship that they had, Christ would come down to this earth and he would begin to set men free by the word that God gave to him. It's always the same. God has always had us in mind. It's an amazing concept when you think of the storm that people find themselves in and the world finds themselves in, but yet the eye of God has always been upon us. Never for a time has he taken his eye off of mankind. Always had a plan in his heart for the salvation of all who would believe on him. He comes down and he meets with these people on the water. And I just love the story because Peter says, "Lord, if this is you, bid me come." It's the call of God to the church. It's an amazing story that here on the storm, if this is God, then there should be a participation in the life of God. If this is really you, now think it through. Here they are in the midst of this incredible storm. But this world is also in an incredible storm. Sin has been raging for thousands of years. It's an incredible storm of degradation, of pain, of hurt, of suffering, of wars, rumors of wars. And yet, right in the midst of the storm, we see that God calls out a people. And you've got to see this as you take a look at Peter, who is a type of the church. God, in the midst of an incredible storm, calls out a people. It never changes, beloved. It'll never change. God will always have a people who will bear his name. And right there in the midst of that storm, he called. And Peter says, if this is you, God, then bid me come. It's never the intention of God that you should try to live Christianity in your own strength. He never asks you to swim out in the storm to Him. He never says, get involved and begin swimming, do the breaststroke, do the crawl, try to get to me if you can. If you don't, I'm sorry, you won't make it. It's never been the intention that God would cause you to try to live Christianity out in your own strength. Beloved, you've got to understand that when Christ said, come to Peter, come out on this water, that there is a participation in that which is supernatural. God has always called a people. When God calls a people to live for Him, He always calls them to participate in a life that is greater than that they've got themselves. He always calls them to live out of a supernatural entity by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when Peter steps out on the boat, it's God who is holding him over the waters. It is the hand of God that he is walking in. You've got to see the story of the church as the church was called on that day of Pentecost. God never intended the early church to begin in their own power or strength. No, there was a storm that was brewing. The Romans were ruling. There was chaos. These people were locked up in fear in this upper room. God never calls them to go out of that locked room into the open arena of mankind and humanity in their own strength. It's never been that way. But there in that upper room on the day of Pentecost, the power of Almighty God came down and every single individual in that house was anointed with power from on high. Every woman, every man, every young person that was in that room had a touch of Almighty God upon them. You see, beloved, the church was never meant to go forth in their own strength. Never meant to handle the difficulties of life in your own power or your own ingenuity. God understood all of this. And on that day of the day of Pentecost, power comes down upon the church and it is birthed. And we see them walking out on the troublesome sea, as it were, of that Roman Empire, of people who hated them. It wasn't a friendly scene. There was angry mobs of people. It was just days prior that we see Jesus has been nailed to a cross. There's an angry mob. Crucify him, crucify him. It's an unfriendly group of people. And times will never change. How do you go out into a world that is so unfriendly? How do you go out into the sea that is tossed with sin and degradation and angry people all over the world? You can't even travel on airlines today. There's such anger all over the world today. It's a fearful thing to travel. But yet God commands us, go into all the world. Just because flying is now restricted and you can't take your lunch on board, well, I don't know if I can travel that far. It doesn't matter about the restriction. God says, I'm going to give you the power to overcome all things. He never sends them out without power. And this is, we see Peter, the calling of the church right in the beginning is into a storm. It's never into peace and quiet. When you understand that God came down from heaven, as it were, Christ comes down this mountain and he calls the church. He doesn't call the church into a nice, pleasant circumstance and an arena of peace. No, he calls his church into that which is tumultuous, broiling with a storm. And that's how we see Peter stepping out in the hand of God. That's how we see the birth of the church of Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost, with power. He brings you out. Folks, oh, I tell you, there's something inside of me to tell you today that even in the midst of the broiling of your circumstance, there is a power from heaven for you. God is bringing you through in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He is going to bring you through to the other side. Bid me come. Always a life of the supernatural. Oh, God, deliver us from a religion that is powerless in its being. God, give us the grace and the strength to always preach from this pulpit that we serve a God of the supernatural, that we serve a God who takes men and women in fear in a boat with a storm-tossed life all around about them, and he calls that person out. Beloved, you've got to understand this is the same call of God today for you and me as it was for Peter. We are the church of Jesus Christ. And He's calling you from that circumstance, that situation that you might be in, broiling with this tumultuous sea, but yet the power of Almighty God is just bringing you up. There's a call of God that says, I will bring you out of the storm and I will lead you on. So He says, come. And He steps out. But this is where it gets a little bit more interesting. It says in verse 30 that the sea was boisterous. It says, come. And Peter, when he's come out of the ship, walked on the water to go to Jesus. And in the, we take a look over the church age. As I mentioned, this is like a 2,000 year period. We take a look at this and we see God came down in the form of a child and He was raised as the Son of God. And we see Him ministering to people's lives. In the midst of turmoil, He calls a church with power from on high. But then in verse 30, it talks about, and when He saw the wind boisterous and was afraid. That literally means that when the term boisterous here literally means ability, capacity, power, strength to be able in oneself to be strong. The church always gets into trouble. Difficulties always come about when you think you're strong enough to handle the situation. And see, beloved, the Bible says that there may be many kinds of voices in the world. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 10. There's so many voices in the world today. And the Bible says none of them without signification. In other words, there's so many voices clamoring to be heard. There's the voice of Islam speaking loud and clear. Humanism. There's so many voices. And the Bible says they're all significant. They've all got a sense of meaning. They've all got a sense of power to them. And the moment that the church, and we take a look that for nearly 1,500 years, that after the church was birthed in such power from on high, when the Holy Ghost came down upon them on the day of Pentecost and the church was birthed and the early church fathers began to set up the church, the young church in those days, we see that they became strong within themselves. And for years, we take a look at this church that goes into almost outer darkness. It seems to be a darkened circumstance where we, in human debate and religion, church became a formalism. It became a ritual. They had lost the power and the anointing of Almighty God that sets men and women free. It ended up as being just an organization of creeds and an organization of ritual, where only a few selected people were able to read this book. And for years and years, we see, as it were, Peter, this type of the church, just sinking into this ocean of doubt and unbelief and ritualism. Folks, times haven't changed. Today, we still see the church sinking, as it were, into ritualism. A ritual can never save you. You can say 1,000 creeds and it mean nothing like that at all. It can't save, it can't change. Only the thing that saves and changes us is the power of Almighty God. But this is why I love the story. We see 1,500 years goes by and this church that was called out of this place in power and anointing and authority, we see it begin to sink into an incredibly long, dark age. But I got news for you, folks. You can push the church down, but you can't drown it. Oh, people can push you down only so far. The church can be pushed down only so far. But you see, there's a cry that the devil didn't understand in the church of Jesus Christ. There's something that God placed in the church of Jesus Christ, and it's called a cry. And when that goes down so far, only so far can the devil push you down. Only so far can he begin to take away that life within you. But we see that in these last days, if this is truly a prophetic word from when Christ comes to the very end of time, we do see a very dark period for the church where it seems to lose its voice, no power, no authority. But I just love the story because almost at the point of going down for the third time, waves. Now, let me just stop there right now and just tell you. I can tell you right now in this congregation, right now today, there's some of you who are going down for the third time. You are in such bad state spiritually that all you can see is this hand out of the water. You're so far low down. I know it. I know it by the Spirit. That you're facing circumstances and trials and the waves of public opinion have got to you. Maybe the public opinion that has watered down the gospel in you is your own family. Maybe it's those on the job. Maybe it's circumstances. Who knows where this voice comes from? But there's always a voice. The Apostle Paul said, you beware, in the last days there are going to be many voices. But in the midst of the storm, there's only one voice that you need to be hearing. And that's the voice of Christ that says, be not afraid, it is I. And the church that hears His voice shall rise again. Hallelujah. Beloved, I just love the story because there He is going down. It looks like the church has gone. It looks like the devil has won. That's why I love the story. You read the history books and you see it looks like the church is done for. It's over. Finished. No voice. No power. So many other voices in the world. But I just love it. Because there Peter is in that moment of time. And he begins to cry, Lord, save me. I want to tell you that when the church comes back to its roots and understands that salvation is in no other but Jesus Christ, when the church understands that God has never left them or forsaken them, and there's that cry that comes up in their heart one more time, the Bible says that Jesus is there and He begins to raise the church. I've got a word in my heart, beloved. I know that the church of Jesus Christ in these days, it looks like it's pushed down. It looks like the enemy has won this battle. We can't even have the name of Christ mentioned in the business places here. It's taken out of our schools. It seems like the devil is winning every time you turn around. Another truth, another freedom is robbed from us. But beloved, I want to tell you that the church can only get pushed down so far. And then there is a cry that begins to rise up. And it's the cry of the Holy Ghost. And that cry is that God will raise up a church in this last hour. A people of fire. A people who will stand and believe God no matter what the circumstances. Hallelujah. Give God thanks, beloved. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I got such a revelation of this that I was with such joy in my apartment as I was going through the Word, and I began to see that the church will never be pushed down, that it'll have a voice in these last hours. It'll speak again against all Islam. It'll speak against every ism that comes against it. It looks like it's winning the battle. It looks like the devil's coming in from every angle. Every ism under the sun seems to be controlling the voice of Jesus Christ. But in the moment of being swamped, Lord, save me. And here comes the church rising up out of the voice of all humanity, out of all humanism, out of all the isms, the voice of Christ begins to rise. I think of this woman who is married and they serve Christ for like 10 years. And her husband gets involved in a relationship and it destroys the marriage. They get divorced. He goes off. He lives a licentious life. And this man was, we knew him very, very well. And he lived a licentious lifestyle. And just so broken, this woman sees her children devastated. Her children now going off into sin, walking away from God because this man just walked out of the home in a silly relationship. But unforgiveness ruled and reigned, and it just every conceivable wave was coming against this family, breaking down children's lives, breaking down the family, divorce, wrecking it from every angle. But beloved, there's this one little tiny voice. This woman is no taller than my wife. I think she's like 5'1". Beware of these little ones. Dynamite comes in small packages. Trust me. I know. This woman said, "Devil, you've pushed me down and I feel like I've gone down for the third time. But you've forgotten one thing, devil. There is a God in heaven that hears the cry of His people. And I'm going to stand and I'm going to cry for this man, even though he has wounded me, divorced me, and is living a licentious lifestyle. And the devil, you've come in and you've destroyed my family at every single turn. But I want you to know that you're not going to snuff out my life. You're not going to take my voice. And as much as I can, I will reach my hand out." And she began to pray. She said, "Devil, you're not going to have my kids another day. You're not going to have this man. I don't even know where he is. But you're not going to claim him one more day." And she began to cry out to God. And the next thing, she felt the hand of Jesus in her hand. And she began to walk in a faith with Almighty God. When the waves were coming at the greatest level against her, there came a hand in hers and she began to walk in faith. Beloved, I want to tell you, it must have been 4 years, 5 years. Some of you would have already given up and gone another direction, but here's this 5-foot woman. She stomped her bedroom floor up and down and held God to His word. And said, "God, you promised that you'd get a hold of that man. You promised me." And she held to God. And I tell you, it was about 5 years later, this man woke up one day and he just had this urge to get out of those circumstances. Get out of that situation. Sin was no longer pleasurable to him another moment. And he got up and he began to flee from that situation. And beloved, I want to tell you, not only did he come back and rededicate his life to God, God reached every single one of those kids and brought them back into the family. They're all serving Christ today. Hallelujah. After four or five years... this couple walked down the aisle one more time. They got remarried. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're never down. If the devil says you, this is the third time and I'm going to drown you, I got news for you, beloved. The church can never be drowned. The voice of the church of Jesus Christ cannot be put down, cannot be put out. Amen? Let me show this to you in the book of Isaiah. We know these scriptures well, but let me share it to you in the book of Isaiah. See, prophetically, Christ came down into this tumultuous sea of broken humanity, and He came bringing salvation. He calls the church in power and to live in the power of Almighty God. The church gets caught off guard and begins to listen to voices all round about it. Goes into this sinking mode and it's powerless, no longer a force. But in the last days, beloved, I see a church rising in these last days, that there is going to be a supernatural working of God in the church of Jesus Christ. You may not see it too many times in churches today, but there is a church that is emerging out of the sea of doubt and unbelief, out of the sea of humanism that listened to the voices for so long, and this church is emerging. And beloved, I believe and I speak prophetically today that in these last days you are going to see a reemergence of the true church of Jesus Christ, where you will see the blind begin to see. I believe that we're going to start seeing miracles taking place. The lame are going to begin walking one more time. We're going to see marriages healed. We're going to see children reunited. We're going to see drug addicts absolutely changed, filled with the Holy Ghost. Once they were putting shots in their arm and now they're lifting up the Word of God. I prophesy today and I'll tell you, as we see in the story, that the church may have gone down. It looks like it's gone for years. But there is a church that is rising today, that's reaching out to the hand of Jesus Christ. And He's bringing up a church who will believe Him. Amen? I'm part of that church. I believe it with all of my heart. In Isaiah chapter 59, he says, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save. He says, I can reach into humanity. Isaiah 59 verse 1. He says, it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter the circumstances. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. You think that you have gone too far. And it might even seem like this. It says here in verse 5, so far had the children of God gone from Him that all they can do is hatch cockatrice eggs, weave a spider's web. It seems like everything that they did just broke out in another new attack. Beloved, this is a picture and a type of how the enemy weaves his web into your minds and into your heart. That every turn you try to do something and all that is hatched is wrong. It doesn't seem to break out into life or truth. You've tried. But everything that you do, you sit on those eggs, but everything that comes out is nothing to look at. In fact, just another attack from hell itself. And there's many people who are sitting here today in this house, in the Church of Jesus Christ, and all you see are these attacks from every side. You've tried. Beloved, I've got news for you. God understands. He says, I know what is taking place. I know what is hatched out of these lives that you try so hard and nothing works. But my hand reaches in. My hand is never too short. You cannot go so far away from God that He can't reach you. You cannot go so far that He doesn't see you, that His hand will not one time again just scoop you up in His hand and bring you to Himself. And He says here in verse 8, He says, the way of peace, they know not. How many of you are sitting here without peace in your heart? Judgment, verse 9, is far from us. Justice doesn't overtake us. In other words, there's no good that comes about. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We come to the house again and again and again, looking for light in my circumstances. This is the church. These are people who make up the Church of Jesus Christ. You come hoping for light, some hope. Some thought, God, I'm going to church for the last time. If I don't hear a word for my circumstances, this is over. I'm out of here. There's some of you here today like that. You're looking for light, but you're walking in darkness. See, God understands this. He understands the attack of the enemy, that every wave conceivable, every lie from hell is trying to converge on your life. Verse 10, we grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. Here it is. It should be a bright time. But we are walking around blinded as though it's the middle of the night. Desert places as dead men. God, what's happened to me? Can you see Peter? The church looks like it's died. It's embroiled in humanism. Embroiled in every other kind of ism. It's swallowed. It looks like it's lost. And this is the people of God. Isaiah saw it. Oh, he saw it so clearly. He said, I see a people walking around like dead people. These are supposed to be the people of God. We roar like bears, mourn like soar like doves. Verse 12 says, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. See, we don't have to preach against a single issue today. You know what's got a hold of your heart. You don't need a preacher to tell you it's this or that or the next thing. You know what's got a hold of your heart. You know it. People know the things that they get caught involved in. And you're sitting here today and saying, God, is there hope for me? Wait on. We'll get there. Truth has fallen to the street. Verse 15, truth falleth, departeth from evil, make himself a prey. You want to live for God, but it seems like the moment you begin living for God, you become attacked. This is what verse 15 says. He says, truth falls. There seems to be nobody who will listen to truth or even appreciate truth or even embrace people who want to be honest. It seems like in today's world, the more dishonest you are, the farther you get along in life. If you can just lie a little bit better. But how does the Christian go into that environment? What about telling the truth and they all look at you and think you're some kind of crazy? The Bible says there's coming a day when those who seek after truth and will live a truthful life, you're going to become a prey. Oh, they're going to attack you from every single turn. There's going to be an attack from this side and from that side because you seek to live a life for truth. And then the Lord says, I wondered if there was why there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation. Now you come back to the story. You see, Isaiah saw it. God says, I looked for someone to help them in their plight. But there was no intercessor, nobody to intercede between man and God. Nobody to bring man's cause to God and no one to take God's love to man. Where is it? God looked and he saw no intercessor. So he said to his son, and this is why we get the picture in Matthew of Jesus on the mount with the Father. He's coming down into all of humanity in the tumultuous sea of the sin of mankind. It's the Son of God. And he's going to call you from that place of wounding, that place of being encaptured by the thoughts and the intents of the enemy. And so God says, therefore his arm brought him salvation and his righteousness, it sustained him. Verse 17, he put on righteousness as a breastplate. God, this is God. God says, you know what? I see humanity struggling down there, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down there myself. Oh, I just love that story. I'm not going to send anybody. My son, who is part of me, he will put on the breastplate of light righteousness. I'm going down myself in my son. I'm going to deal with this issue once and for all. And he says, I'll take on all of their vengeance. And he gets to verse 19. So they shall fear the name of the Lord. This is Isaiah 59 verse 19. From the west. It says, and from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, which is the east, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard. Hallelujah. When they are going down, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. Devil, it may look like they are drowning. It may look like this is the last time going down. But I got news for you. The moment they go down, there is a hand reaching into that place of degradation. And God says, now hold on, devil. Hold on. You take your foot off that person's head right now. And God reaches in and picks this person right up and begins to sustain them. He says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob. He says, there's coming a people who says, God, I've had enough of the devil pushing me down. Lord, I'm turning to you and you are going to come through powerfully for me. In verse 21, and he says, and this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My Spirit. My Spirit, not another spirit, not another gospel, not another ism, but my Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, they shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed. That's my grandchildren. Oh God, I thank you. That as I lay hold of Jesus Christ, your words are going to be in my mouth. You're going to give me the words against every single attack out of hell itself. And not only me, it's going to go into my children. My daughter has just come back from the Ukraine, is it? The little one says yes. My daughter has just come back from the Ukraine. Her and her husband went over there. They have gone over to seek out a language school. She's got five of my grandkids. And she says, I'm taking them to Russia. We're going to go live in Russia. We're going to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and we're going to live in Russia. I said, no, you're not. Those are my grandkids. And they will stay with me. And remember, I am your father. And she said, "Well, Daddy, you came from Africa to the United States. What made that right and me moving to Russia wrong? If you could hear from God, didn't you believe that we too would hear from God?" And I had to step back and say, "God, she's speaking truth. And in my daughter, there is a word of God." Hallelujah. The Bible says that when we get into times of difficulty, He says, "I'm going to put my spirit within you. And it is going to go not only into you, but it's going to go into your children." I see my daughter speaking the very words of God. She's got a vision in her heart, and she's taking all my grandkids. So next year, I do a preaching schedule all through Russia now. You'll be praying for me as I go through Russia. Have to see those little guys. But my grandkids as well. God will keep a word alive. Beloved, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I want you to understand that he will raise up a standard against him. Now let me close with this. In Micah chapter 7 verse 8, you need to memorize Micah 7 verse 8. Don't even try to find it. Go to the front of your Bible sometime and look up Micah, and then you understand that this verse of Scripture is for you. You see, in the darkest hour when Peter wept bitterly, he turned. In the darkest hour, there is a Scripture that says, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy." And this is Micah speaking about the church. He's speaking about the people of God. And he says, when you get to a point and it looks like all hell is breaking loose against you from every side, and the enemy is standing back and laughing at you, your children have gone, your husband is gone, or your wife is gone, you've lost your job, you don't understand the conflict, you are absolutely bombarded from every single side, and the enemy begins to laugh at you. The enemy says, "Oh, where's your God? Where is the one that you've trusted all these years?" The devil begins to rejoice and laugh. He begins to say, "You are finished. It's over. You're never going to make it." He says, "You're sunk. Your finances are finished. Your marriage is over. Your life is done for. You're going down. It's all over." The Bible says, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy." God is going to give you authority today to stand up in the midst of your storm. He's going to allow you to point your finger right at that devil and say, "Devil, you can laugh not an hour longer. Not 1 second longer are you going to laugh at me." He says, "For when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Hallelujah. Beloved, I want to tell you today, give Him thanks. Just give Him thanks. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you. Oh, I thank you today. Even when I sit in darkness, and all you hear is the horrible laughing of the enemy. We got an email, and I'm closing right on this thought. We got an email from a woman. "Please pray for us. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. She might even be in the house today. And we have prayed for her." But she wrote, and she says, "I live in the worst part of Brooklyn. And I'm in the house at night, and I wake up, and I hear all the most wretched, demonic laughing and screaming in the night hour. I can't sleep, and my family can't sleep, and fear seems to come upon me." Beloved, it's the work of hell itself. But when you sit in darkness, when you hear every horrid voice of the enemy coming in upon you, the Bible says, God shows up. God shows up. "When I sit in darkness, the Lord Himself shall come in as a light into your darkness." He will show up and He'll say, "Fear not, it is I. Oh, beloved, the church might look like it's down, but don't count on it. Because the Bible says you might go down, but the hand of God is right there. Never shortened to save, to bring you out of your circumstances. One more time. Now give Him thanks. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh God. Lord, I pray for those in the annex and the overflow room right now and all throughout the house. It's not a new word, but a word of encouragement. Lord, today, while every head is bowed, I knew the pain of so many in the house that they're going through. But Lord, as Peter cried, as a type of the church, the Bible says, immediately, not a day late, immediately, your hand was there. Now, Lord, there's people here today. Maybe they've gone down for the first time or the second time. But for every person in dire circumstances who are going down for the third time, you have a word for them. Fear not. Fear not. I'm with you. And Lord, I believe today your hand is going to deliver many, many from a storm that's destroying them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. If that's you today, I have a word for you at this altar. For those in the annex, just go to the screens in front of you. For those in the house, this is for those who are in a storm and you need the hand of God to reach down and to pick you out. Today, beloved, this altar is open for you. Holy Spirit speaking to me that some of you here today are in a battle in your mind. It may not be circumstantial or financial or even relational, but there's a battle going on in your mind. So I was praying there. Absolute struggle. Almost to the point where you think you're going insane is the attack against your mind. And I really believe that God wants you just to give it to Him. And He's going to amazingly open up a way for you, away from this battle of the mind that has got you embroiled. It's just, there's a fight going on in your brain right now. I just sense this. Somebody at the very point of suicide, such is the battle in your mind. Step out. Let God meet you at that point of need in your life. Believe it or not, the very fact that you stepped out, as it were, out of the boat that you were in, the very fact that you stepped out and you came to this altar today means immediately God has begun to buoy you supernaturally over the storm of life right now. He's holding you. The very fact that you stepped out in faith, that was the one thing. Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt me? And so the fact that you've come out today, God has got His hand underneath you, underneath of the everlasting arms, and He's begun to buoy you. Phenomenal, beloved. Just phenomenal. You stepped out, and let me ask you, did you drown on your way to the altar? No. No, no, He kept you. And now He's buoying you above. Don't let go of the supernatural work He's doing today. And for everyone who is battling something in the mind, raise your hand if that's you. If there's a struggle in your mind going on right now, just put your hand up. Let me tell you, this is what David said. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. So the cry in your soul, God God, when is this going to end? The Bible says God inclined unto the cry. He heard it. And then in verse 2 it says, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. In the original, it means a pit of many voices. It means the yelling of many voices. You're never going to make it. You're going to die. You're finished. You're done for. Out of that pit of many voices, God makes a way because He inclines His ear to you. Amen? And I just, that's a word for you today. And it goes on, David goes on to say in chapter 40 of the Psalms, and he said, He'll establish, He set my feet on a rock, and He established my goings. That as you began to walk, God says, I'll establish you on a supernatural walk with God today. Young man, a supernatural walk with God. You've stepped out. Believe that He's going to take you on a supernatural walk with Him. Amen? Raise your hands towards heaven. Let's pray. Father, I thank You today. I may have belabored the point, but these are people who have been going through a storm in life. Now, Lord, You're going to silence those voices. The enemy's been laughing at them, but we say in Jesus' name, be silenced. Devil, we command you, be silenced. In every life, in every mind, in every heart right now, devil, be silenced. God, You've put a word in our heart, and we're going to use that word. Devil, be silenced in Jesus' name. Be silenced. Say it, beloved. Devil, be silenced. Say it by faith. Devil, be silenced. I may have fallen, but I'm getting up in the power of the Spirit of the living God. Today, I begin walking in the power and the anointing of God's Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Lord, fill me with fresh power from on high. Wash my past. Cleanse me. Silence the voice of the enemy, of the accuser. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank You today that these are people that cried. And You reached down and You pulled them out of that storm. Oh, God, I thank You today. Oh, God, I thank You. You've pulled them out of the storm. Oh, God, I thank You. You pulled them out of the storm. Believe it. Believe it. Oh, Jesus. Now, Lord, You gave, we don't look for signs, but You gave a sign. The moment You got into the boat, that wind ceased immediately. Now, Lord, we command that wind to cease right now. You're in the boat of these people's lives. And Lord, let the turmoil of those arguments, those fightings, those wranglings, the stronghold of sin cease its blowing. Make a way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give Him thanks, beloved.
This is the conclusion of the message.